In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. Every once in a while, and this seems to happen quite frequently, you have somebody usually in politics or some sort of public person who seems to have things going for them and things go on pretty well, but then something happens. They have a scandal that hits. Usually these scandals tend to be personal in nature, not normally professional, but usually these things that affect their family life or their personal life. And we who are maybe admiring these people, sometimes we feel disillusioned or disappointed or just, you know, we feel like we've had the air taken out of us when these scandals happen. And I don't know why we always react this way. Perhaps it's because there are some people who we hold up to a level, and then this level becomes above a human level. Because we forget often that the charismatic, the powerful, the influential, they're just human like us. At the same time, we know people who are on the other side of the coin. We forget that the quiet, the powerless, the poor, the lowly are also just human like us. And it becomes disappointing because we forget that people make mistakes. They have bad judgment. They do bad things. But it doesn't always mean that they are bad people. Political scandals are not new to our time and place. We have the story, which I had to chuckle this morning at the early service when the description was read to the first reading. It says, "This story is the conclusion of a very sorry tale." And indeed, it was the conclusion to a very sorry tale. Tale of David, King David and Bathsheba. Now, to back up a little bit, we look at King David. King David was considered the greatest king in Israel's history. I mean, we don't just look at the biblical David, but historically, David's kingdom, which was really more of an empire, was the largest the borders had ever been in Israel's history, even including today. The borders of Israel in that time went into the Sinai Peninsula, into Egypt, around into what we might consider Saudi Arabia, all of Israel, Jordan, Syria, Lebanon, Kurdistan, and northern Iraq. This was a big kingdom. This kingdom was quite large, and so politically, David was a very important figure, very respected. But he also had that spiritual side. We know about the Psalms and the writings of David. St. Paul himself, in the book of Acts, referred to David as a man after God's own heart. We also know that David was the ancestor to Jesus. David had a lot going for him. And even David had a story of great political scandal. It's a story of scandal and corruption that would even probably make us today a little bit embarrassed. To give you the background of which this is the conclusion of this sorry tale, we have David, who at some point was standing on top of his palace, which of course sits quite high because he's the king, and he looks down and he sees on top of one of these houses this woman named Bathsheba, and she's taking a bath. And David becomes quite enamored with her. Well, being king, he's able to pull a few strings, and so he begins to have an affair with this woman, who, by the way, is married to a man by the name of Uriah the Hittite. So after a while, this affair has been going on, and she becomes pregnant. Not exactly the message we want to hear on Father's Day. Well, when she becomes pregnant, David thinks, oh, well, that's a problem. Well, what am I going to do now? Well, at this point, you would think, you know, this great king who has a great spiritual life, he would come clean with his sins and try to make amends. But no, he tries to cover it up. So first, he says Uriah, who's out in the army in the field, he has Uriah come back, and he says, hey, spend some time with your wife, she's lonely. You know, thinking maybe he'll think that the child would be Uriah's. And Uriah says, oh, but I want to be out in the field with my friends. Well, that doesn't help things. And then things get ugly. David has Uriah killed, conspires against him. And then he takes Bathsheba on as another one of his wives. And here's where our story picks up. Her time of grieving is over. David takes her on as a wife. And Nathan comes to him and tells him this parable. There's a wealthy man who has many sheep, but has a visitor. And so he takes the sheep of one poor man who only has one little ewe lamb. And David is angered because he realizes about this injustice, and Nathan turns around and he says, this, my king, is you. Now, the story does not end all bad. It does end somewhat badly. The child dies. But there is redemption. David goes on and continues to be a great king. Things don't go so badly after that for he and Bathsheba either. She gave birth later to Solomon, who we know also became a great king. And so there is, even in the midst of a political scandal and corruption, there is redemption. Our gospel story is a different story about a different sort of scandal. Jesus is invited to a dinner party at the house of Simon the Pharisee. And things probably start off going well. You have to imagine what a dinner party is like in the Roman world. They're not sitting at a long dinner table like we would imagine with high back chairs. Excuse me. They're sitting at a lower table, and around it are couches or cushions. And so they're laying down on these couches or cushions with their feet kind of sticking back away from the table. And they're eating, I imagine, just waiting for indigestion sitting in. Yeah, they're just laying down. But there they are, enjoying dinner, and then something happens. A woman comes in. And we know very little about this woman, at least according to Luke. We don't know who she is. We don't really know how she got in. We know that she's a sinner, whatever that means. Well, join the club. But we don't know anything about her sins. Now, certainly we can speculate, and a lot of people have assumed they know what her sins are. Of course, you know what assume does. Well, we can only guess what her sins are, but we don't know. What we do know is here they are at this dinner party, and all of a sudden, this scene happens. She begins weeping and washing Jesus's feet with her tears and anointing them with this expensive oil and drying them with her hair. And yes, this was an act of great humility. But I imagine, for all the other guests at the dinner party, this was a bit of a disruption. You know, I'm sure they started talking a little bit louder to cover up her weeping, trying to ignore her at first. But then things really get out of hand, and Simon, you know, thinking to himself, the host, thinking to himself, it's making people uncomfortable. How did she get in here? She's making a scene. And he thinks, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what kind of woman who is touching him, that she is a sinner. Well, Jesus, turns out, did know what he was thinking about. And so he tells another parable. And he said, there are two debtors. One who owed 500 denarii and one who owed 50 denarii, and both were forgiven their debts. And he asked, now who will love the person to whom they owed? Who will love him more? And Simon said, well, clearly the one who owed the greater debt. Aha, now we understand. It is helpful to remember, and while we say this a lot, sometimes we still forget it. It is helpful to remember that no one is perfect. No one, not ourselves, nor anyone else. And yet we forget this frequently. And if we forget this, we are bound to be disappointed or disillusioned, or maybe feel betrayed. We can too easily forget what it means to be a human being if we expect perfection in ourselves or another person. Sometimes we just can't get over what we ourselves have done, and we just let it linger and eat away at us. And then we also forget what others have done and let it linger and eat away at us. But with imperfection, we must also remember one very important thing, that we also have redemption. There is nothing that you can do that makes God not love you. Just let that one soak in for a second. There is nothing you can do or have done or will do that will make God not love you. There's the good news for the day. But also, there is nothing anyone else has done, or has done, can do, or will do that will make God not love him or her. And that can be difficult, because sometimes it is hard to look past a sin. Sometimes it's hard to look past our own sin, and sometimes it's really hard to look past someone else's sin. And when we forget our own humanity or the humanity of someone else, we stop seeing a person. We stop seeing a human being, and we only see that sin. That person loses their humanity in our eyes and becomes a caricature of what they have done or what we believe they have done. Simon the Pharisee did not want to see this woman as a beloved child of God. He only wanted to see her as a sinner. But like David, she also was given redemption. She also was forgiven, redeemed, and loved. And we must remember that all people, no matter how important or no matter how unknown, all people make mistakes. It is part of our human condition. It is true for all of us. But because we are beloved children of God, we also are forgiven and redeemed. Amen.